You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reform book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur. Hey, bookworms, welcome back. This is not so much a planned podcast, to be quite honest. I am a little behind on all the things and realized that it's Thursday, which is when I usually upload, and I hadn't done anything yet. I had a plan. I promise I had a plan, but my week is a little off kilter this week for a couple of different reasons. The main reason is I was away last week at Mohonk Mountain House up in New Paltz, New York, and didn't get home until very late on Monday and jumped right into everything on Tuesday because the purpose of my weekend away was kind of a girls' weekend. It was me and my mom and my sister up at Mohonk Mountain House, and we were there from Friday to Monday. And it's a thing we do every year where it's kind of our rest, revive, rejuvenation retreat. I'm a big believer in intentional escape. And that intentional escape can take many, many forms. So for me, it's usually getting away from things that I know I would dive into, even though I need to remove myself a little bit to give myself time to process what I'm working on and to refill my well, so to speak. I know you guys have heard, if not me say it, other people say that you can't draw water from an empty well. And sometimes we're so busy pulling the water from the well that we don't realize how low it's getting until the water's gone. And then there's nothing to pull from anymore. So I have a habit of scheduling in escape time, time to escape my realities, time to escape all of the things I have to do to get to the things that not necessarily that I want to do, but to get to a whole lot of nothing, to be quite honest. I don't do a lot of staycations because while people find value in that, and I do too, if I'm home, I'm going to work on things no matter what. So multiple times a year, myself, my family, we pull ourselves away from the house. Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes it's all of us. Sometimes it's just a couple of us. But the intention is to get away, to escape someplace where we're not going to have the same incentive or desire or push or guilt to do all the things we would normally do when we're home. So I did take work stuff with me because I am never without a book. Let's be honest here. I'm not going somewhere without a book. It just doesn't happen. Whether it's on my Kindle or it's a paperback or whatever it happens to be, I am taking a book with me. In fact, I took three books with me this time because I was editing one in first edits. I was in second edits and proofreading in another, and I brought a paperback to read as well because part of Mohonk Mountain House's theme, I guess, is returning to an older time when things were simpler, not as technology based. There are no TVs in the rooms at Mohonk. And they do have Wi-Fi because they do have conferences. And of course, people do still have to work. And let's be honest, we rely on our Wi-Fi for so many things, whether it's checking in on social media or reading a book on a Kindle or whether it's work, we rely on it. So I appreciate that they afford that. But more than anything, the reason that we escape every year to Mohonk and we've already booked next year is it is a stunningly natural space. It's in the Shawangunk Mountain Ridge, which is near the Catskills, but not in the Catskills. And it is just breathtaking. The mountain house, the resort is, you kind of feel like you're walking a little bit into Dirty Dancing with the activities that they have planned all over the place. And it's that kind of a mountain resort. It's on a glacial mountain lake, and there's boating and archery and tomahawk throwing and hiking, and they have all kinds of activities. The dining room is stunning and splendid, and it's very catered to taking care of everything that you want. And it's an all-inclusive except for alcohol, which is fine because we don't mind paying for our alcohol. And we did. We did pay for alcohol because we did imbibe. They have some really amazing drinks that they make there, and they're delicious. And I didn't have to drive anywhere, and I didn't have responsibilities of taking care of young children or anything. So we did take part in the drink menu because for me, that is a little bit of a fun escapism thing. Having someone else mix a drink for me. I'm a bourbon girl, and they have a lot of bourbon and whiskey drinks, and they were just delicious and wonderful and paired well with the desserts and the dinners and even the cocktail hour beforehand of just sitting with me and my mom and my sister and just talking about everything and nothing, and sometimes just sitting in that quiet space. So this kind of all brings me to this concept of escape. And this concept of removing ourselves from the reality that we immerse ourselves in every day. And we spent time, they have a beautiful spa. We spent time in the spa and we did go hiking, my sister and I. We left the building and we went hiking through these gorgeous woods. And it's just this concept of being in the midst of everything all the time. And having to physically remove ourselves to keep ourselves from becoming overwhelmed and overworked. There's a value in finding that escape. Now, I know that not everybody can or even wants to find an escape where they travel 7 hours from their home and they leave the whole world behind to go spend time in nature and whether by themselves or with people that they know or meeting other people, whatever it happens to be, there's a value in the disconnect. And I think a big part of why I love to read so much and why we're all such bookish people is the escape that books provide. See how I'm making this about books? You with me now? Good. Books provide an amazing escape when we cannot physically escape our space. And not all fiction has to be anchored in reality to give us that escape. So we can escape into a reality-based fiction, or we can escape into something that is not so reality-based. And I find that there's so much of that within romance that it makes it such an amazing genre to escape into. You following me? I think so. So let's talk about that escape for a couple of minutes. When we're looking for something to escape into, there's two ways that we can go, that I go. And we've talked a little bit in some of my past episodes about paranormal and how I actually started reading romance within the paranormal subgenre. And that's all I read for several months was paranormal because it was what I was introduced to. And it really provided an amazing escape because yes, it's fiction. And so is billionaire romance and romantic suspense and everything else. But PNR, paranormal is, I think it's like the ultimate escape, right? Because it's so far from reality that it allows us to really disconnect our minds from what we're doing. I mean, I know sometimes I really do wish that aliens would come down from some foreign planet and kidnap me and take me away. Not forever, just for a little while to get away from the reality of everything. And for me, that paranormal escape is so awesome because the creativity that's infused in it allows my mind to totally delve into this other world, like literally another world, and just live there for a little while as the characters or watching the characters. Come on, you know, we're all kind of a little voyeuristic here in this, but enmeshing myself in that, immersing myself in that becomes a great way for me to escape the everything because I know, even though it seems to be anchored in reality, like they're people, it's not. And it pulls me away. And even if we're talking about non-paranormal romance, there's a reason why people read that too, right? We're regular people and regular people read and write billionaire romance and romantic suspense. And I like to kind of jump into those because Well, the people are, they're all people. There's no aliens. There's no vampires. There's no werewolves. There's no Bigfoot, whatever. We're all real people. It is an escape from the normal and the everyday because while I'd love to be whisked away on a billionaire romance weekend, with, all of the trappings that come with it of private jets and lavish meals and fancy clothes and whatever. I know it's not my life. It's just not my reality. But I love it because it really lets me immerse myself in something different, right? So let's think about that. And this is going to be a short episode, so hopefully you guys can just dive into this. And I really want to hear your feedback, but some of the most amazing romance that I love to dive into, it deals a lot with the total sense of reality in the absurdly hilarious situations people find themselves in, because it is oftentimes so different, but so relatable that I can find myself laughing at brain squirrel. I suffer tremendously from secondhand embarrassment, which is why I don't watch a lot of sitcoms and rom-com movies because I get deeply embarrassed for the characters when they're in situations that are embarrassing. So part of that secondhand embarrassment is it's difficult for me to watch things where people get unnecessarily embarrassed. I kind of blush for them, but there are certain books that I find that I can jump into where I don't experience that. And I don't know if it's because it's written versus watching it, or if it's the person writing it or the situation. I honestly don't know, but I do know that there are several authors who write rom-coms. The two that come to mind right off the bat is Pippa Grant and Kaylee Loring, who I find there's a comfort in the humor rather than a cringe. And it's the cringy humor that I have so much trouble with. And I don't find their humor to be cringy. So it's a really great way for me to laugh and enjoy that escape from reality without suffering from the secondhand embarrassment that I find in so many other things. So to Pippa and Kaylee, thank you for writing these absurdly hilarious situations that I can laugh along with and in a comfort laugh. I guess that's, I don't even know if that's how to say it, but maybe it's because I know it's going to end happily. Maybe it's because I identify with a lot of the characters. Maybe it's the way they're created. I don't know. But I find a very beautiful sense of joy and escape, particularly in those types of comedies. And then the other type of escape that I love that I'm never going to be involved with is, well, okay, we talked about the billionaire romance, and there are some really great ones out there. But I love, how to put this. So the ones that have a little bit of suspense in them, I'm thinking Dublin Nights, by Brittany Shaheen, and the way that she writes in this sense of familiarity at the same time as it being so far out of reach of normalcy that it really does provide an escape. Her characters are deep and well developed, and the stories are, outside the realm of what would happen to me normally, but I could see it possibly happening to someone else. And I love building in that escapism. And then the romantic suspense elements of things like Alaskan Security, by Gemma Westbrook, and Brittany's Stealth Ops and Falcon Falls, and where there's just this, I'm going to keep saying it, this wonderful sense of escape. And I find a value in the escape of the book itself, of knowing that it's not something I'm ever going to be involved in, but diving into those worlds and leaving everything else behind and finding the time just to read and enjoy. Because I don't know about you guys, but my life can become chaos in an instant. And I'm talking about the chaos of being a working person, being a working mom, being a human being with multiple things going on where things spiral. And just this week has proven to me again that things spiral even with the best plans. And we make plans and the universe laughs. So sometimes the plans we have to make is the plan to remove ourselves from the plan. We have to create space to escape from the chaos of cooking dinner, planning meals, grocery shopping, laundry, helping kids with homework, walking the dog, cleaning the house, whatever it happens to be, running 1,000 errands, work. We have to build in the resources to escape. And sometimes building in that resource to escape means leaving the house physically to go someplace where you don't have the responsibilities and you don't have the pressure. And you can just say, this is what I'm here to do. And this is what I'm going to do. Whether that's taking a hike in the mountains and hills surrounding Mohonk, whether it's heading to the beach in Myrtle Beach or Hilton Head Island or Florida or California or Hawaii or whatever it is, whether it's going to a corn maze and spending the day with family and friends, wandering through a corn maze where you are in the middle of nowhere and you don't have to work and you don't have to worry about 1,000 notifications coming through. Or it's saying, I'm going to sit here in my bedroom, living room, on the couch, on the bed, in a comfy chair, in my car, hiding in the bathroom, wherever it happens to be. Maybe it's the library or the local bookstore, to pull out a book and escape into a world that is not your world. And forcing yourself to sit with those pages and those characters within the pages and the situations that they're experiencing that you will likely never experience yourself. But to promise yourself that you're going to sit and immerse yourself in someone else's reality so that for just a little while, you can escape your own. So I hope maybe the last 20 minutes with me has helped you escape a little bit and maybe given you a little bit of permission or justification or a reminder that escaping our reality to dive into someone else's is reasonable, acceptable, and a responsible use of our time. Don't ever let someone tell you that sitting down to read or listen to an audiobook or to do absolutely freaking nothing is irresponsible, because all of that value in that escape is finding the time and the space to recharge, to revive, to rest, to rejuvenate, and then to restart. And do that as many times as necessary. So that's it for today. I'm really glad that you decided to pop in and join me. Our next adventure, I don't know where our next adventure is going to go. I don't have a plan for next week's podcast. So we'll have to see where the week takes me and what I decide to talk about next week. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I can tell you that we have our next Stalker Sisters book club planned, and that is LJ Evans, The Last One You Loved, which is her most recent one. And we're going to be book clubbing that to air October 20th. So if you want to join in on that, make sure you've read The Last One You Loved by LJ Evans, because that one will air October 20th. In the meantime, if you have something you want me to talk about, that you want me to discuss, that you want me to delve into, jump into the comments on this episode, episode 15. I think I'm going to say it's episode 15. And if you're hearing munching in the background, Maggie decided to come downstairs and eat while I'm finishing up chatting, which, hey, at least she waited until I was almost done. Apparently she's decided it's lunchtime. But in the meantime, you can find me on Facebook at Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion. You can find me on Instagram at Brazen Bookworm, TikTok, Brazen Bookworm, on Discord, and BrazenBookworm. Pop into the blog site, brazensblog.com, for blog posts, book reviews, and direct me. So right, I keep forgetting about direct me. Direct.me/brazenbookwormblog. Direct.me/BrazenBookwormBlog. And you can always message me. If you don't want to leave a comment, you can message me on Facebook, Instagram, or email me, brazenbookworm@gmail.com. So that's it for today. I can't wait to connect with y'all again soon. And I hope you find the time and the space to find your own escape and then come back and tell me about it too.